Greetings. Greetings again, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. You are listening to thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, July the 10th, 2011. And we are yet in the book of Ezekiel, preaching with the mind of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is the mind of justice, of freedom, of equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are looking at Ezekiel chapter 28, around about, what is it, the 13th verse? Around about the 12th verse. We have been talking about the prince of Tyrus and the king of Tyrus. We showed that the prince of Tyrus represents all of the visible leaders of the system, your prime ministers, your presidents, your heads of state, heads of government, of financial and educational institutions, the overseers of the system. We show that the king of Tyrus then and now represents the puppeteers, the real masters of the system. As we said in times past, that your heads of state, governmental, financial, educational institutions are merely mascots, and puppets. The real puppeteer and puppet master are the synagogue of Satan, as represented by the house of Rothschilds today, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order, the 1%, 2% most wealthy in the United States of North America empire, Europe, and Israel. These are the real king of this wicked system, as represented by the king of Tyrus. But as we gave a critique on the rulers, we as regular lay people want to also see where we fit in this equation, in this analysis, and the mistake that the scholars of Christianity and the scholars of Judaism make is that when you get to scriptures like Ezekiel chapter 28 and it begins to describe certain aspects, the scholars want to say that these descriptions only describe Lucifer. And let's give a summary. Well, the king of Tyrus is described as being perfect, as being so beautiful and so wonderful and whatnot. As is described as an angel, a cherub, which means angel, a covering angel. And so your commentaries, the Living Bible application commentary says, be careful that you do not ascribe attributes meant for Lucifer to a human being. And so they want to separate this description from the king of Tyrus. Well, we're not only going to make sure that we understand that this is descriptive not only of Lucifer, but also of the rulers of this world, but we want to make sure that we find ourselves into this description. In that, we were created perfect, all of us. In God's eye, in the mind of the Most High, we're created in perfection, with beauty and wisdom and that which is wonderful and righteous. But just like with Lucifer, we find ourselves enamored with our beauty. And then we see that we're able to do certain things that bring satisfaction. And then we have to make a choice. Do we follow that line, or do we remain in that perfect sphere that the Most High created us to be? Now let's go over this in detail. And you recall what we said in the last few sessions concerning the puppets and mascots, who are the prince of the system. But then we describe the puppeteers and the puppet masters that are the king of the wicked system. And now we want to see ourselves and keep in mind that which is currently taking place in the world, and so that we may make the proper decisions. And I give thanks and praises unto the Most High Father and the Most High Mother for the scriptures. Now, son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. You recall what we said in times past, but we're going to take up lamentation for ourselves. We're going to lament and be sad concerning our condition and our decisions and the decisions that we make. And say unto, this is Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 12, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. All right, so the Most High is speaking through Ezekiel in the scripture to the king of Tyrus. But we're also looking at this scripture as the Lord God, the Most High, speaking to us, common people, poor people, afflicted, needy, and oppressed, so-called middle class or working class and oppressed people, all of us. Because if you have to go to work every day, you're a working class person. And so we're going to see ourselves in this scripture. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So the king of Tyrus was created perfect, full of wisdom and full of beauty. You recall what we said about the Oppenheimers and the house of Rothschilds, how beautiful their life has been, how they had access to knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Well, that is you and me as well. In the mind of God, sister and brother, no matter what your job is, no matter what your title is, whether you have no title, whether you live on the street, whether you are even homeless, you who are considered nothing in the eye and the mind of the system, God sees you as perfect, created in perfection, created full of wisdom and full of beauty, sisters and brothers. This is how the Most High sees you, sisters and brothers. You're not a president, a prime minister. You're not the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the 1%, 2% ruling class and ruling families. You're not a part of the ruling class and ruling families. You're a regular common person. You go to work every day. You have families, you have wife, you have husband, you have children, you have friends, you have relatives. You go to work every day. You try your best to provide for your families. You may think that you're nothing, but the Most High says you were created perfect, and we were created perfect, full of wisdom and beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, this is not just for the king of Tyrus. This is not just for the Oppenheimers and the Rothschilds. This is for you and me as well. The Eden means delight. The Most High Father and the Most High Mother have taken delight in you. The Most High sees you and is delighted with you, takes delight in you. But those who run the system do not see you and me as having delight. But the Most High sees you and says, I see you as Eden. I see you as delightful. The garden, been in Eden, the garden of God. A garden is a place full of life that produces life. The Most High, when the Most High looks at you, sisters and brothers, the Most High sees so much potential in you. The Most High sees that you have the ability to produce life and produce righteousness and be productive, just like a garden is productive. Further in verse 13, chapter 28 of Ezekiel, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. These minerals are meant for the whole of the human family. And many of us have had access to such minerals, especially when you look at TVs and computers and Xbox games and little computer games and cell phones and things of that sort. They're made of these types of minerals and resources. When you look at the diamond rings and the necklaces and the jewelry and whatnot, all of us, for the most part, have had access to these minerals, and it is our right to have access to these minerals. The Most High loves to see all of us have access to these minerals and these resources. Says the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And you recall how we brought out that the word pipes means those instruments that are used to create and maintain jewelry and resources, take resources and minerals and precious stones and precious minerals and whatnot and craft jewelry out of it. That's what the word pipes mean. But sisters and brothers, when we look at the reality that we as human beings are just as precious and more so as anything in the earth, and we look at how we have the ability, as that jeweler has the ability to create things and take resources and minerals, and with the pipes, the instruments, craft those resources and whatnot into things of beauty, such as diamond rings and necklaces and whatnot. So it is with the human being. Each and every one of you has within you the ability to extract out of other human beings, other sisters and brothers, that which is precious and that which will promote life for the human being, for the human family, for other sisters and other brothers, no matter the color, ethnicity, race, religion, creed, class, gender, and so on. You have that ability within you, and it was given to you from creation. Talking to you common people, talking to the common sister and brother. We're not talking to the ruling class right now. We're talking to ourselves. We want to see ourselves in the scripture as well. Common people, working class people, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We who are locked out of the ruling class, locked out of the prime ministers and presidents and that echelon. We want to see ourselves. You are so precious. You have ability within you to extract goodness and righteousness and wonderfulness out of each other and ourselves. All right, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. This is you. This is not only those in power. This is you, sisters and brothers. You and me and we have been given the ability to cover each other, to help each other. Let me see this word cover right quick. 5526. Sakak. To hedge, to fence about, to shut in. So we're talking about that which is a protection. We have been given the ability to protect each other. And we who are conscious are given the ability to protect the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And that word anointed, 4473, Memshak. Memshak, anointed, expansion. So we have been given the power, the anointing, the spirit to create expansion, not contraction, but expansion in all things amongst each other. And this word Memshach is also related to Mashiach. So you have Jesus the Messiah, but you are the Messiah people. This is a Messiah, the Messiah movement. And we have been anointed to be the covering and to be that instrument that protects rather than destroys. This is you and me. This is us. This is not only those in power. Continuing. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Now, we, through the Most High, in the eye and mind of the Most High, have been given the opportunity to have influence and power. Every one of us has influence and power on some level. And mountain means power, influence means governments. And you, common people, we, common people, are the real government. The institutions are to serve us. We don't serve the institutions. The institutions, whether educational, financial, governmental, they are to serve us. We are the holy mountain. We are the literal holy mountain set up by the Most High to be anointed and to cover and protect the human family and not destroy the human family. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You recall what we said in sessions past about the ruling class and families, how they were given the ability to examine spiritual knowledge through the creation? Well, that's not only them. That is you and me. Any one of us have the ability, have any one of us has the ability to go out into creation and to look at ourselves and learn of the Most High in ourselves and the Most High in creation. Recall that the word theophany was used. In that, the word theophany describes the ability to see the Most High in the physical creation. Well, when you and we elevate our minds into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, we will see that the Most High is in all parts and portions of the creation. When we meet a sister and brother and we see that we are trying to be right and be correct, we will see the Most High in our sister and in our brother. We are experiencing theophanies every day of our lives, but we have to elevate our consciousness to recognize that as a fact. And we're going to take our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
Bye.
Greetings, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. You are listening to thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, July the 10th, 2011. And so, sisters and brothers, continuing with verse 15, chapter 28 of Ezekiel. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, we've been talking about the ruling class and the ruling families. We've been talking about those that are the presidents and the prime ministers, but we want to look at ourselves as common working class people. The Most High created us perfect. That's the scripture. In the mind of the Most High, the mind of the Most High sees the original intent for all of us. And creation means birth. Let me make sure. Created. Yep, one of the meanings of the word created is birth. And so we know the Most High, as the Father and the Mother, have given birth to the whole of creation, to the human family, the whole of the universe, and so on and so forth. And so in the original birth of ourselves, in the mind of the Most High, we were perfect. We were absolutely perfect. Let me see that word perfect, 8549, on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It's pronounced tamem. It means complete, whole, entire, sound, healthful, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity. Look at how the Most High sees you and me as complete. In this system, have you ever felt like the system wanted you and us to think that we were incomplete, that we were not full, that we were not sound, that we were undeserving of that which is good and whatnot? Well, the Most High sees you as complete. In the mind of the Most High, connected to the Most High, we are complete. But the system wants, say, if you're black, or if you're brown, or if you're a female, or if you are of the underclass. Those who run the system don't want you to think of yourself like the Most High thinks of you. Don't want you to think yourself in the same way that the Most High thinks of you. But the Most High sees you and me and us as perfect. But, hold it, iniquity was found in us as well. And we want to explain that. By the multitude of thy merchandise, this is verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Sisters and brothers, look at the system. Look at the warfare. Look at the bloodshed. The Most High does not want us to support and promote warfare and bloodshed of the United States of North America Empire. The Most High does not want us to be influenced and maneuvered by any president into bombing Libya, bombing Yemen, bombing Somalia, bombing Iraq and Afghanistan. The Most High does not want us to support the destruction of working class and middle class people and underclass people through austerity programs administered by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, through the presidents and prime ministers of this world, causing us to think that it is to the betterment and benefit of the nation to squeeze the working class people and middle class people and underclass people, while the ruling class and ruling families, top 1%, 2%, go scot-free and we suffer the violence. And so, by the multitude of thy merchandise, trade and commerce, the acquiring of land, wealth, and resources, the methodology is violence. Whether it is warfare and bloodshed, or whether it is the violence of austerity programs that do nothing but destroy working class and poor class people, whether outside of the United States of North America, and now you see it inside of the United States of North America, because the job of the Obama administration is to capitulate and compromise. And while you have the Tea Party and the Republican Party talking crazy, Obama doesn't talk so crazy. Says don't cut them that bad. Don't cut poor people that bad. Just cut them a little bit. And so the Obama administration comes to a compromise with the Republican Party in the middle. But any way you cut it, it is destructive to the human family. And this is the plan of the Oppenheimers and the Rothschilds. So we have a choice to make. Will we continue to support such wickedness? Or will we go back to that perfect view that the Most High has of us? Will we become what the Most High intended for us to be, which is that covering cherub, that spirit, that angel, that righteous person that covers and protects the working class and poor class and underclass, and then works to abolish a system that has such stratum and echelon of classes? That's the choice that we have today. And thou hast sinned. What was the sin? What is the sin? To support this wicked system, to support killing and bloodshed, to willfully and gleefully join the military, and not that in and of itself, but then afterwards to go and kill other poor people, other working people. And we, who are not in the military, we give voice to such wickedness, or we remain silent because a black man is president. Whereas when it was a white man as president in George W. Bush, or any and all of the other Caucasian or white presidents, maybe we spoke up. Maybe we spoke up when it was a Republican in office, but now all of a sudden it's a Democrat in office. It's a black man with a beautiful black wife, woman, with beautiful black children, Sasha, and I forget the other beautiful child's name. Now we remain silent. So we have sinned in our silence, or we have sinned in our actual participation in and supporting of such wicked plan to destroy the human family and steal and thieve the land, the wealth, and the resources. The Most High does not want us to do this. So, further in 16, chapter 28 of Ezekiel, therefore I have cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So, we were able to have influence and be in that realm of influence as an Elohim, as a God and a goddess, as a child of the Most High. But we will not remain in that wonderful position as long as we continue to support killing and bloodshed and warfare. As long as we reject the legacy of Dr. King, the legacy of Elijah Muhammad, the legacy of Marcus Garvey, the legacy of Minister Malcolm X, or the legacy of Fannie Lou Hamer, the legacy, the living legacy of Assata Shakur, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, and all of those Black Panthers and revolutionaries that are in jail. As long as we reject that legacy, the Most High sees us as profane. 24:19. Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary on the Hebrew side, galah, profane, defiled, polluted. And we are profaned, and we are defiled, we are desecrated, we are polluted by this wicked, filthy, nasty, disgusting system that maneuvers us into supporting the killing and destruction of another human being. So, and further in verse 16, chapter 28, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. The Most High still sees us as the covering cherub. The Most High still sees us as that righteous one who was commissioned to cover and protect. But we will be destroyed as long as we continue to support such a wicked system. We must come together and rise up and say no more killing and no more bloodshed and no more destruction of the human family. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So whereas we were able to look in creation and look in other human beings and look in ourselves and experience theophanies, experience the Most High in creation, we will be cut off from such experience if we continue to support such wicked system, such wicked, barbaric, immoral, illegal warfare, bloodshed, consumerism, militarism, materialism. Further, verse 17, chapter 28, Ezekiel. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Maybe we say we live in America. We're beautiful. We're wonderful. We want to participate in such a mentality of being lifted up and conceited and egotistical. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. So because we saw ourselves as so arrogantly beautiful, maybe we say we're Americans. We live in the United States of North America. And now the wisdom that we had is now corrupted because of such a wicked thought to think that we're better than other people just because we live in a certain place. And to say that America is the greatest nation on the planet, when we know that America, the United States of North America, has what she has because the government of the United States of North America, the ruling class and families, have gone all over the earth and killed and destroyed human beings to take land, wealth, and resources. And we don't even point that out. We just say America is so great and we're glad we're here and nowhere else. When the reason why it's so miserable, even inside of the United States of North America and outside, is because of this wicked Babylon system, warfare, and bloodshed. So, by reason of thy brightness, thy wisdom, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, thinking ourselves so great. Splendor, brightness, and shining. And this is 3314 of the Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary on the Hebrew side. It's pronounced Yafah. Splendor, brightness, and shining. And do not the leaders of America say America is a city a bright and shining city on a hill? Well, that brightness that we claim has corrupted our wisdom and is destroying us. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So, this is our destiny if we continue to support this wicked system. We must find ourselves extracting ourselves from this wicked system and extracting ourselves from supporting such wicked, barbaric warfare, bloodshed. The International Monetary Fund, the World Bank Organization, the World Trade Organization. All of these institutions that destroy human beings. 28, verse 18, chapter 28 of Ezekiel, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. Now, the house of your physical body is your sanctuary. And we have been defiled because of supporting this wicked system, supporting bloodshed, supporting warfare, supporting the destruction of our sisters and our brothers. So we have defiled ourselves because of our iniquities, our iniquitous support of such a wicked system. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. We said this is the ruling class and families, and we are right. We said this represents the mascots and the puppets, and we are right. But if we do not turn heels on this wicked system and begin to link up as working class people international, this will be our lot. But the Most High sees us as perfect, as being that covering angel, that covering cherub, that one collective one that is anointed to protect, sisters and brothers. And this reminds me of our teaching on I and I. See, we have the original created self, created by the Most High. That is the first I in the I and I. See, the Rastafari sisters and brothers, don't say you and me, the Rastafari sisters and brothers, Bob Marley, Bunny Wheeler, Peter Tosh, Martino Plano, Judy Mowat, Marsha Griffiths, Rita Marley, they say I and I. The first I. The first I is that original self. That original self created by the Most High. United, united and at peace and at one with the Most High. And also united at peace and one with creation, in harmony with the Most High and creation. And so that second I represents the human family, those outside of yourself, also united with the Most High Creator, and united and in unison and in harmony with creation. This is the way that the Most High sees all of us. All right? But now there's something else going on, that egotistical self, that other self. And it reminds me of Sigmund Freud, how he brought out three categories of the mind: the id, the ego, and the superego. And the id represents that portion of ourselves that only seeks to be gratified. Whether we want to be gratified because of just wanting to be pleased, or gratified because of need. All right? And so, sisters and brothers, all of us have needs. All of us want to experience that which is pleasurable. Okay? And so, we are not wrong for wanting access to land, wealth, and resources. It gratifies us. We have a need for it. And we have, we experience or get something of pleasure from it. But now we have let's go to the opposite end, the superego. Now, the superego is that portion of the mind that puts restraints upon us, that constrains us, that imposes morality on us. So yes, we want to be pleased, but we don't want to abuse others. We don't want to do that which abuses the human family. Yes, we want to be pleased. We want to satisfy our needs, but are we going overboard? Are we being satisfied to the destruction and detriment of another portion of the human family? So the superego takes the id and says, you must have morality. You must constrain yourself. You must suppress certain portions of yourself because you don't want to hurt others and hurt yourself. And then you have in the middle the ego. In the middle is the ego that puts balance between the id and balance between the superego. The ego uses spiritual reality and physical reality to bring balance to the id, which seeks gratification and pleasure and seeks to satisfy the need. And balance between the superego, which is morality and constrain and repress. And so it looks to me like the human family, father, mother, and child, the Almighty Father and the Mother Holy Spirit and the child. So the father gives all these instructions, but the mother takes those instructions and causes them to make sense and causes us to understand how we can apply those instructions to our lives so that we can please ourselves, gratify our needs, fulfill our needs, but yet not hurt and destroy the human family in the process. So we give thanks and praises, and we end this session, and we say Jah love and Jah bless, and this is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.